Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's me, Dennis, and I'm on a conversation with Clay Boykin, the new compassionate male and the emergence. Hello, Clay.
Hey, Dennis.
Listen, I would like you to start with a reading from your book, A Circle of Men.
Okay.
Would you please?
I have something picked out.
Circles of Men?
Yes, Circles of Men.
Let's start there, and then we'll get a chance to discuss afterward.
Okay, certainly. This is at the beginning of the book, and I'll start. What is in a man's heart? As a man, you are the only person who truly knows, and the likelihood is that you protect what's at your very core from other men and perhaps the woman or partner in your life. But it is within your heart where your deepest questions are left unanswered. Fear of being vulnerable and shame keep us from connecting with another man. Yet it is only when we open our heart that these questions get answered. You've been there in your darkest hour when you are in crisis or have hit bottom. When there is no light at the end of the tunnel and you have found yourself stuck and all alone. You may be there now or soon will be. You may remember the pain all too well and have emerged a better person for it. Whatever the circumstances, whenever you have been there and however you have gotten there, one thing is for sure, to be isolated and in that place is total hell.
Well, that certainly took my breath away. There is a lot in that paragraph. Where were you when you wrote that?
Actually, I seem to recall I was in Wimberley, Texas. I was out on some friend's property and there's a special place that I go to meditate, to get back to nature. And I had, I was spending time there by myself, hot summer day, and delving into the book. And I think that's where I actually wrote that passage.
And where were you emotionally and spiritually? Because what I know about you, Clay, and what we've discussed in the conversations that we've had after a career in the Marine Corps and after working with Motorola and being successful around the world, you had an epiphany, both a physical, emotional, and spiritual epiphany, that there had to be more.
Well, yes. And that epiphany happened when I was in Jamaica. And I realized that I was having heart attack symptoms. I was 53 at the time, and that turned out to be a sacred experience, a mystical experience. And in fact, when I got back, I had a quintuple bypass. And that was in 07, and later on, that's when the market crashed and I lost my job, and I was in my own dark night of the soul.
And it appears to me that we elder white males of privilege, when I look around the world and I see who is in power and what we're doing, I'm very concerned on how we pass and share power of what we've been given, of this particular planet at this particular place, the places where we have succeeded to, because it looks like to me the world that's coming is going to be different than the world you and I grew up in. I'm 71 this year and you're in your 60s. And this is a very changing world, and you're traveling the world in order to find that out and to explore that.
Yes, and you know what I'm seeing out there, with all the strife and all the things that are happening in the world, you know, it's a lot of people can just be very negative about it. But what I'm witnessing in my travels, you know, across the United States and you know, in Kenya, doing a men's retreat there, what I'm witnessing is that within each man, there is a spark of compassion. It may be a tiny spark, and they may not realize it, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is pressing and pushing to get out. It's almost like holding a basketball underwater. You know, it's going to pop up. And that's what I call the new compassionate male. And I actually believe that the new compassionate male is within each one of us as it's coming out and it's forcing its way out almost. That mm-hmm. new compassionate male is becoming, it's becoming the new archetype.
God, that's exciting. I mean, that really feels, so in this emergent space, where are you seeing the men able to get there? So what? Talk a little bit about the circles of men, that you began here in Austin 7 years ago, the group, talk a little bit about that and what you've seen in the evolution over the last 7 years.
Well, certainly, you know, and this has been a learning experience for me. Because I grew up not trusting men. And when we started in 7 years ago, this was kind of an experiment. And I said, let's just throw away everything that happens in traditional men's groups because something's not happening right. I lovingly say that those are outside-in approaches, trying to break into the guy to get to his heart. And those serve a valuable purpose. However, there is a population of men out there that are already in their heart, and they're stuck. You know, they may have gone through their recovery program, you know, and they're mm-hmm. looking for something a little bit higher level, maybe spiritual, but they're not going to go back to church. And they can speak with their spouse to a certain level, but there's still another level there that only another man can connect with. And if we can create a safe space, and that's what we're doing on a circle, a safe space where there's no judgment. No one's trying to fix each other. You know, it's a sacred container where men can share without being judged. Then it gives them an opportunity to learn how to connect head and heart and then connect the heart to the mouth so they can speak more from there. Not to live in our heart, but to bring that balance, to integrate that. We've got it so shut down with the patriarchal system that we're all, you know, somewhat victim of, we're so shut down mm-hmm. there that we're not complete. And it's only when we can open up and integrate that, you know, share compassion with ourselves, be compassionate for ourselves, integrate that, our heart and our head, and show up in the world. And that's the new compassionate male. But it's not through force. It's through a powerful loving kindness of a circle that recognizes that we're all wounded and we nurture one another.
That so speaks to me because I have seen in my own life how I have judged myself. I have seen the places where I have not trusted other men, and it has just been hell. It's been very difficult because I would judge my insides by what it appeared their outsides, and that's where the disconnect happened. And I see what's happening in these groups is that the circles here in Austin that I've attended, I've seen an extraordinary disparate group of men, different ages, sizes, different backgrounds, different educational mm-hmm. levels, but yet but there's that great commonality of mm-hmm. us being human.
Yeah. You know, it's the one place in the week that I can go and be with other men and be completely safe and begin to trust. I mean, I look back on my life and I realize that there were men in my life that were honestly and good-heartedly trying to help me, trying to mentor me, and I shut that off because I didn't trust them. What's your agenda? You know? But when we go into that circle, you're right. It's a place, you know, we leave our briefcases and our swords and our shields outside the door, and we come into the sacred container, and we can listen deeply to one another. People can speak knowing that no one's going to sit there and, you know, counter back to them. You know,
yeah.
You witnessed it. We've witnessed it together.
Of course.
Some very deep and tender times that,
It's truly, truly extraordinary. So how did it build from the beginning, and how does, if someone listening says, well, that sounds like a good idea, what would I do? How would I do that? How would I learn more about that? What's
Well, you could buy the book.
There you go. Well, and right here on the website, that's a good way to do it, because all right, so that's one way to do it, to be able to build that, right?
But in short, we took a very counterintuitive approach. You know, we call it the Men's Fellowship Network as a founding organization, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we call it a network and not a group. And we have gatherings and not meetings. And we have topics of conversation, not topics of discussion. You see where this is going? It's counter
mm-hmm.
to everything that we've learned growing up. When I go to a meeting, I want to know what the agenda is, you know, and I'm on guard, you know. How can I go into my heart going into a meeting? You know, and some people say, well, that's semantics. Well, you're damn right it's semantics. You know, words matter. And the nuance of that, it changes the energy. And men come in with a different mindset. And, you know, we don't ask for a commitment. You know, please don't commit. We're already overcommitted, and you're setting yourself up for failure. You know, oh, I'm going to beat myself up because I didn't go to men's circle tonight. Forget that. Set an intention to be there. Set an intention.
Yeah.
And when it's time, you'll be there. And if you haven't been there in a long time, you're not going to be greeted with, hey, where you been? You're going to be greeted with, hey, it's great to see you. And that speaks volumes.
Boy, you know, as I know in the rooms and in program, acceptance is the key, is the core of all my problems today. And that's acceptance of the way things are and acceptance of me, the way I am at that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 We can be we are our own worst enemies. And
why is that, Clay? What is it about it that, you know, as I did communication coaching around the world, I guess the one most consistent theme that I would hear is, I am my own worst critic. I'm harder on myself than anyone else. And that's pathological, I found, for me. I found that the harder I am on myself, the actually harder it is for me, the more difficult it is for me to change the very thing I'm attempting to change.
Yeah. We have to learn to treat ourselves with a touch of kindness. You know, we're all, I'm going to say it, you know, we're all victims
Please.
Of the patriarchal system. You know, from the time we're born, boys are blue, girls are pink. You know, boys do this, girls do this. Well, yes, we're different. Yes, we're different. But then we get put into this box and we get, you know, channeled this direction. We're taught, you know, at some point I've got to physically leave mother, you know, metaphorically, to find out what it is to be a man. And I go to my dad or my father figure with my arms outreached, like, that's what I learned from mother, you know. I want to give him a hug. And he goes, nuh-uh. We shake hands. Or he's not there. And so then we look out. Well, what are the male role models out in the world? Well, Rambo, you know. The Marines are looking for a few good men, you know, and so forth. And so we model ourselves against to that. And it's not healthy. And we begin to fail. We don't measure up to that, you know, to that successful man archetype out there. And And then I feel less than, and then I become my own worst critic.
Exactly. And that's what happens. I've seen that happen to me over and over and over again. One of the things that I so admire about you is that your willingness to go within and look. I mean, I saw last night, it was in mid-December, when we were having that very tough time on a very difficult subject within the circle, and you just sat there and trusted the process. And the men, and I saw it move back and forth in almost a psychic holding of one another, and let the process happen. It was an extraordinary experience to be there, and that has happened 2 out of the last 3 times that I've attended.
Well, imagine this: there were 22 guys there last night. And remember how we all were silent for a long period of time. And it wasn't that somebody said, stop talking. It's that the conversation ebbed into a silence.
Mm.
And there was peace. 22 guys, no one feeling the need to fill that void and to allow that energy to do its job, allow it to come up and embrace all of us and recognize that we are one and we are brothers. And we do have each other's back. And, I mean, last night was tough. And it wasn't perfect. Yeah. Nor will it ever be perfect. But we all helped one another. I wasn't leading at all. You know, I set the container. And that's the other thing is I put a topic out there. And I let it go where it needs to go. You know, I may tap here or tap there gently, you know. But I'm there learning just like the next guy.
What a holy, and that is a holy experience, Clay. That is really, so tell me what's in your windshield at the end of 2019 and where are you going? What kinds of things are you thinking about? What are you curious about? And what are you curious about, Clay?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I mentioned earlier that I was in Kenya this summer, and I had the privilege of working with young men there. And, I basically started out saying, you know, who do I think I am as a privileged white Western male to come here to Kenya and teach you anything?
Yeah.
I'm here to share and I'm here to learn what it is to be a young man in Kenya, and maybe we'll find something. Well, that opportunity is presenting itself again. And April-ish, we think, I'll be back there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go for round 2, and there may be 2 retreats. It's all in kind of the forming stage right now. But there's a possibility that after that, we may go to Uganda. And then over to Rwanda. And then I heard possibility of Congo. So that's out there. Yeah. And, you know, there are 11 countries along the Nile River. And it occurred to me that the Nile River Basin, and there's an organization that is working to weave those countries together with a common theme of we all care about the river. That's our life force for all of us, you know, along the Nile River. And there's an organization there that, you know, I believe is a window into connecting with young men. And these countries happen to be in the Nile Basin. So that's on the horizon there. I'm going to be doing some more work with the organization called Gender Equity and Reconciliation International. I'm becoming a facilitator with them. And that's deep healing work between men and women, recognizing that both men and women are wounded by the patriarchal structure. and for women to be in a place that they can share things that were deep that they never have been, and to have a man listen deeply without judgment, and vice versa. You know, the privileged white male stands up, well, you think I've got it all going for me. Well, let me tell you about my wound.
Yeah.
And that's eye-opening. That's eye-opening. And it's, well, it's cathartic too. But anyway, so I'll be doing work with the gender equity folks. Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you get a sense of why Africa? I mean, Africa is the cradle of our civilization, the cradle of humanity. There's something very primordial about Africa.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was a kid, we were supposed to move to Africa. Our family was. And that was
really
50 years ago. Yeah. And at last minute, Dad's work changed and we didn't go. And it's always been in the back of my mind, you know, a place that I'll never see. And when the opportunity came up and I went there, I remember sitting underneath this canopy tent, you know, the sides up, and had a table writing and doing my mind mapping and recognizing that I'm here. I'm here, and I'm here for the right reason. I'm not coming as a tourist. I'm coming here to engage. And there is a connection that drew me close with the men. And during that 3-day time, there was an energy that was palpable. I wish I could be more descriptive, but I can tell you that I'm ready to go back.
But you don't just have to be descriptive. On your website, you have videos, you have opportunities for people to connect and to be able to see what it is that you're doing, and plus also to be able to support you in how you're going to do this.
Yes. Yeah. Playboykin.com is what you're referring to. And I've chronicled this last year. I think I've had about 35 engagements in the United States and there in Kenya.
Goodness.
And some of them have been large and some of them have been very small. But, you know, when I went into this year, it was an experiment. You know, say yes. Just say yes and keep saying yes. And I tell you, the things that unfolded, you know, I have to chalk it up to Providence. You know, I've thought about getting a T-shirt that says, Providence is not a metaphor.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing I learned this year.
That's amazing. And has your definition of your higher power evolved and changed over the past years?
Yeah, it has. You know, from the a dualistic approach, which, you know, people grow up and live in and thrive and live fulfilled lives, and some don't. But more the God up there. But what's come about to me is that we are all manifestations of God or the higher power, and we're all connected, and that's not metaphor. We are really connected. And so it's the God within. And who am I to hold that down? And that's what we guys do. You know, it's an emotion we feel. Oh, we got to stuff our emotion. No, we got to bring that up and integrate it. You know, and that's the connection with Source. That's connection with God, with Yahweh, however you want to call it. That's connection with Source, integrating all of those feelings so that we can really truly show up as a complete male, you know, embracing both the divine masculine and the divine feminine energies within us. And we all have both to varying degrees. And that's the richness and that's the texture of life out there. And it's not, you know, guys and gals. No, that's an easy cop out. No. It's that spectrum, that energy, the divine energy that manifests as divine masculine and divine feminine, that we can embrace and really show up. I get kind of passionate about that.
I'm so glad that you say this, because the idea of binary, you know, here's a man and here's a woman, and these are binary states, just does not resonate for me. There appears to me to be a continuum, a spectrum, and that we have a cause. I mean, I have a binary physical gender, because I happen to have male parts and male mm-hmm. aspects, and testosterone is my basic drug, but my personality is not binary. My personality spans the spectrum. I have feminine and masculine. I have all. Mm-hmm. It's like a global rather than a one or zero state.
Yeah. You know, I learned a term through the gender equity folks this last year that, you know, I think Jung may have come up with it, but this notion of holding the tension of opposites,
mm-hmm.
there's some magic in that. You know, we are evolved enough as human beings not to just take a myopic view. You know, it's this way or the highway. To be able to say, yes, you have a different viewpoint on this matter than me. And to be at a level of consciousness, to be able to hold that tension of opposites, to honor mm-hmm. the fact that that's another human being. And then we can both look up at something greater than ourselves and find the richness and solutions in how we approach things. You know, what would the world be if everybody was identical? It'd be awfully boring.
Yeah, and it certainly – all right, well, I want to put a pin in our conversation here. But before I do, I want to say, is there anything that is right now today on your heart that we should talk about in the last 3 minutes that we have?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, we're expanding. You know, here in Austin, we've had the One Circle going for, you know, almost, it'll be 8 years in April. We just opened one up in South Austin because traffic is so bad here. We've opened one in Kansas. We've opened one in Orlando. I connected with a group out in Georgia. So this is bubbling up, and I'm serious. The book Circles of Men came out last August a year ago, excuse mm-hmm. me. And I didn't want to write a how-to book, but you know, face it, it's a how-to book. But it gives some counterintuitive ideas that says this men's circle can thrive and survive the test of time and not die out like other men's groups tend to do.
Exactly. Thank you, Clay. I love that this is our first conversation. We have many, many topics to explore because I would love to explore gender equity and sexuality and learning who we are and trying to make a living and be a compassionate male in. And what does emergence mean? Because emergence by definition means it's creating something that has not been there before.
Well, it's, there's nothing new under the sun, but I think you're right. You know, we think of the king, warrior, magician, lover archetypes,
right.
And that model has worked. This new compassionate male, I really believe that it's an archetype that overarches those four and brings the consciousness up higher.
God, oh. The perfect place to end and the perfect place to begin the next. Clay, thank you so much. Thanks for being in our lives. Thanks for all the work that you do around this planet to heal all of us and to heal yourself.
Thanks, Dennis. It was a real pleasure, and I look forward to talking some more.
All right. This is Dennis Tardon. We'll see you next time.